Appreciate you being here tonight, and pray for my wife. She was a little nervous kicking off that for tonight for the first time. And she's been around a while, but obviously they don't know her as well as they knew Miss Tiffany, so she was a little nervous about that. So they'll have a good time. And I did talk to one of our missionaries today, and he's going to come by this summer and report, Brother Gazaway. And so August 13th, I believe, he'll be with us on that Sunday morning. And so talk to there. And then working on some other things for maybe a revival this year and a missions conference, things like that. So putting some feelers out there, see who could come and do those things. But we'll announce those as they get there. So excited to get that. And obviously the 26th of this month, and now it's March. And so we'll let's do as many invites as we can. Obviously, we know there's a lot of people coming back, kind of like a homecoming, if they were involved in the church since its beginning. And so we'll have a lot of visitors that way, but let's try to have some visitors of the area as well, that maybe they turn into prospects and so forth. My furniture is in there. Everything is not unpacked yet. It looks like a bomb went off. I got books and boxes and things like that, but the furniture is in there. It got here at 1 a.m. or 12 a.m. this morning. And so the first email I got was, your furniture is loaded and we'll be there between 3 and 6 yesterday afternoon. And so I was great. So came up, did some stuff, went home, came back around 3, and I was waiting. And so nothing at 3, nothing at 4, nothing at 5, nothing at 6. About 6:15, my wife came by and said, you know, we're ready to eat supper. So we were going to, you know, go to Taco Bell. We can't beat that. But anyway, we were going to go to Taco Bell. And so she figured out there was a way to track it. I didn't know how to do that, but she figured out there was a way to track it. And it said like 9:15, you know, your estimated time. And so I was like, okay, we'll get plenty of time. We'll go eat. We'll come back. It'll be fine. We get back here, you know, a little before 9 o'clock, and we tracked it again, and it said 11:20. So I got the basketball game on my computer and so forth, watched that, figured, okay, they'll be here. Nothing. That ball game came and went. And so I kept looking. It kept getting later and later and later. And so they finally backed in about 12 a.m. this morning and unloaded it. And only took about 20 minutes, and they were gone. So, but it's in there. So praise the Lord for that. It looks great, and I'm very grateful for it. Thankful for it, and it looks nice in there as well. And I did hang some of my home, my decorations up in there. And there's one above that door, and one above the other door. And kind of keeping watch of my office. And so, but anyway, I'm appreciative of that. All right, tonight we're going to preach a sermon or Bible study here called Be As Safe As Possible. Be as safe as possible. There's some people that are, you know, they're very safe. They're very cautious. They're very, you know, maybe I don't want to go outside. I don't want to breathe. You know, they're you know, they put all kinds of precautions in there. And then there's some people that, you know, they don't care. They don't think about anything. They just go through life with, you know, carefree, things like that. And so, obviously, spiritually speaking, we ought not do either one of those, okay? We ought to be as safe as possible when it comes to spirituality and so forth. And I have mentioned before that one of my teenagers that I had in a youth group back in the day, he told me, he said, you ought to write a book on how to do dumb things smart. And so, because I would tell them, you know, I did this when I was a kid, and I did this when I was a kid, things like that. And, you know, that just like you've probably figured out, I have a story for everything, and I can give an illustration of it. And so, of course, I use that throughout my time as a youth director, and I would tell them things like that. I guess one of the things that I did, I jumped off a 60-foot cliff into some water, but of course there was a boat down there with a depth finder, and we checked and made sure it was deep enough, things like that. So most people might think that, you know, diving off a 60-foot cliff would be insane and not very safe. And one suggestion that I could give you, if you ever try to dive off a 60-foot cliff, is to clasp your hands together. The first time I did it, I just had it normal dive, and it about ripped my arms off. So clasp your hands together and lock them beside your head, and that way you go in the water like that. So anyway, I found that out. My mom ever asked me, if your friends jumped off a bridge, would you? And I would say yes. Because I have, and again, I checked the water and the depth and things like that. So, and I could just keep on going and keep on going. So some of the things that I've done in my life, I was not as safe as possible. Again, I didn't want to live in a bubble. I am outgoing and adventurous, things like that. But we're going to look at a few things here. First of all, in the introduction, the safest place for eternity, and we've used this verse several times lately, and that's John 10:28-29. The safest place to be throughout eternity is in God's hands, or in God's hand. John 10:28-29 says here, I give unto you eternal life. So he's got eternity, and they shall never perish. We will never perish. We'll never have to go to hell. We'll never be separated from God. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck him or them out of my Father's hand. So the safest place to be throughout eternity is in God's hand. Second thing, an introduction, the safest place to be in this world is to be in God's hedge. Is to be in God's hedge. Job 1:10. Job 1:10 says this, "Hast not thou made an hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side?" And of course, we know this is God and Satan having a conversation, and God asking him what he was doing. He's like, "Well, I've been going to and fro throughout the earth, basically trying to devour people, discourage people, hinder people, things like that." And God said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" And this is what Satan was saying, "Hast thou not made a hedge about him? And about his house, and about all that he hath on every side, I can't get to him." So, of course, that indicates here that God is able to hedge us about. And that's something that I pray for every day for my family. Pray for safety for me, pray for safety for my wife, for my in-laws. Lord, keep us safe as we go about this earth today, and put a hedge about us, because he's able to do that. My children that live in North Carolina, Lord, put a hedge about them. And use them, keep them safe. My children that live in Georgia and grandchildren, children that live in Georgia, keep a hedge about them. My parents, things like that. People that I love, our church, people in our church. Lord, put a hedge of protection around us. So the safest place possible to be in eternity is in God's hand. Secondly, we see here the safest place to be in this world is in God's hedge. Thirdly, in the introduction, the safest place to be in our daily life. In our daily life. So of course, we talked about eternity. Stay in God's hand. If you're saved, nobody's going to pluck you out. You're safe forever. In our world today, there are devices, there are temptations, there is enticements, and God can put a hedge of protection around us if He will, and we should pray that He does that. But then thirdly, we see here, we're in 1 Samuel 22, verse 23. This is one not as familiar as those others, so that's why we turn there. But in our daily life, throughout this world, throughout the day, where's the safest place to be is in God's, realm of help. In God's realm of help. As far as eternity, in His hand. As far as in this world, inside that hedge that He could put around us. In our daily task and daily life, we can be in the realm of His help. 1 Samuel 22, verse 23 says this, "Abide with me." So I've got the Bible all throughout it. He's the vine, we're the branches, we're supposed to abide in Him. And so, of course, we need to pray without ceasing. We need to act like He's watching all the time, because He is. And so throughout our day, we can abide with Him. "Fear not, for he that seeketh my life, seeketh thy life. But with me thou shalt be in safeguard." So God is aware of any temptation. And with that temptation, He'll give us a way of escape. He is aware of any of the devil's devices. And He says, I don't want you to be ignorant of them. You watch out. And so if we stay with Him, abide with Him, we can be in that safeguard. Another verse, you can write this one down. Leviticus 25:18 says this. Leviticus 25:18. "Wherefore, ye shall do my statutes, and keep my judgments, and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land safely." So we see here that if we'll keep His judgments, keep His statutes, and try our best, That's the way to be as safe as possible. So even though we can never be plucked out of God's hands, we can live in a way that He might remove that hedge. There's another famous verse in the Bible. You know, I sought for a man to fill in the gap, but I found none. So there are times where the hedges have gaps in them. And of course, every time I hear the word hedge or see it in the Bible, of course I think of spiritual things too, but also unspiritual things. That's what the Georgia Bulldogs play inside of. Inside the hedges. There's a row of hedges around the stadium there, and there have been some goofballs that have tried to run through those hedges before and rush the field and did not know that those hedges were around a chain link fence that you cannot see. So it stopped them really quickly and so forth. But the hedges are there, and basically it's a border. It keeps you safe. So we can say, all right, I am saved. So I'm just going to live like I want to, and I'll be safe. I'm going to show you some verses where that might not be true. Now, you can't lose your salvation, but you can get outside of that hedge of protection. And you can have where God says, I'm going to remove my hand of protection from you. So it's important how we live. And it was like, all right, well, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, so I'm just going to party, I'm going to do this, who cares? No, that's not safe. Let's look at Romans 1. Romans 1, turn over there real quickly and I'll read you a couple of verses. Romans 1, this is talking to saved people that have that promise that they're going to be saved forever. They also had the promise that I'll hedge you about and keep you safe if you'll live a certain way. And I also will hedge you daily and keep you safe if you'll live a certain way. But if you get to the point that you don't want to live inside that hedge and you don't want to be as safe as possible, Romans 1 verse 28, there we go. Romans 1 verse 28, it says here, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Okay, these were saved people, but they were trying to run from it as fast as they could. They were saying, don't talk to me about God. They didn't want to do that. And it says here, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. And so they're living and acting like they weren't saved, even though they were saved. And then it says here in verse 29, being filled with unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. The kids could hear that one. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affections, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things were worthy of death, not only to do the same, but have pleasure in them to do them. So we see here that God can turn us over to the reprobate mind to do those things that are obviously not right to do. Now, it goes on to say that person's soul is saved, but their flesh can be destructive. And so, if we're talking about being as safe as possible here, I want to be saved. I want to be inside those hedges, have some boundaries, have some separation, have some standards, and be inside that. But I also want to keep His statutes and keep His judgments, so His favor, His blessings, His smile, all that will be on me. I don't want to get outside of that hedge. And it says here, you also can live in a way that would cause that hedge to be torn down. I'll read this verse to you, or verses. Psalm 89, 38 through 40 says this, but thou hast cast off and abhorred, thou hast been wroth with the anointed, thou hast made void the covenant of thy servant, thou hast profaned his crown by casting it to the ground. Thou hast broken down all his hedges. Thou hast brought his strongholds to ruin. So we see here that God promises us this safety. You're safe. If you're saved, you're safe and you're going to heaven no matter what. If you will get inside his boundaries and stay inside those boundaries, those hedges, he can keep you safe. And if you'll live like He's watching you and wants you to keep those statutes and judgments, you can be as safe as possible. But if we look, that's not important, we can get away from those safeguards. So we can ignore all His safeguards, but I don't know why in the world we'd want to do that. Some are saved in His hand, but they're outside the hedges, no safeguards. Some are saved and in His hands, but they're outside the hedges and have no safeguard of their daily life. I want to be safe as possible. Hence the title of the sermon. Safe in His hand, safe in His hedges, safe in those safeguards. And who cares if people might call me over the top in my religion? Who cares if they say, oh, you're Mr. Straight-Laced, Bible Bob? Who cares? Who cares if, people might call me Mr. Overkill? You're overkill with that religion, and you're overkill with your wanting to live like the Bible things, and, you're just going to need to loosen up. It's 2023, and da da da. Who cares? I want to be as safe as possible. Make a big deal over everything. It is a big deal. I want to be as safe as possible. I was taught when I was raising my kids, to look in the mirror and ask myself, have you prayed for them? Have you taught them the Scripture? Have you been a good example in front of them? Have you kept them around the right kind of peers in the right church? Have you done that? That way, if they ever do, like the prodigal son, and say, I'm out, I can still look in that mirror and know I did everything I was supposed to do. Why? Because they have a free will. They will be able to make a choice one day. And they could have chosen just like the prodigal son. But the prodigal son's father, yes, he was discouraged. He sat on the front porch and looked. I'm sure he prayed every day. And he ran when he saw God bringing him back, when the kid finally came to himself. But we can teach them right. I've given this example before. I'm standing here behind a pulpit today preaching, and I have a brother that was raised just like I was, taught just like I was taught, took to church just like I was took. Probably even more. We didn't even get in church till after I was old enough. But he battles drug addiction. Okay? So, you have a choice no matter what you're taught. So, we have to realize I want to be as safe as possible. I want to stay inside these hedges. I want to stay where God is smiling on me and will bless me, things like that. So these safeguards, they're basically precautionary measures that we take to prevent an accident or to prevent things like that. And so I'll give you a couple of illustrations of safeguards. I took the teenagers not too long ago when I was down in Florida to Six Flags. Because teenagers, they love to ride amusement park rides, things like that. And my rule was if I'm taking you, you ride everything. Everybody rides everything. Well, I'm scared of this. Everybody rides everything. They were all freaking out about acrophobia. And it was this ride that shoots you way up. I'm not sure how many stories high. When you get up there, then it leans your seat out like this. So you're looking at the ground, and then it, boom, it shoots you towards the ground. Acrophobia, scared of heights. So they were Googling it, reading about it, things like this. And it had a statement on there, with this ride all over the world, only 16 people out of millions have fallen out. I was like, why would they put that on there? 16 people out of millions they're the only ones that have ever fallen out. And there was a young man that was, his life was taken. He was too big for it, and they were trying to force him in there. But there's safeguards that those type of rides have. They have regularly scheduled maintenance. Fellas that go around, grease everything, tighten everything, check everything. I was in Pigeon Forge one time riding, I think they called it the slingshot. You're basically side by side, and it throws you in the air and does all this stuff. And so the guy was sitting there, he was checking my seatbelt and things like that. And he goes, oh, I told that guy to tighten that bolt. And all of a sudden, pew, we left. He did that on purpose, so I'd be thinking about that bolt. But they do. They have regularly scheduled maintenance. Why? To be safe as possible. There are seat belts. Why? To be safe as possible. Shoulder harnesses. To be safe as possible. Lap bars. They have employee checks. They have computerized checks. That if it's not latched, it'll have a light. And obviously, I thank God kept me safe on some of those rides in my life. Doing stuff. I want to be as safe as possible. There was a fella in our church down in Florida, and he had gotten to where he could not do a lot of things physically with a disease he had. And we had a hurricane, go figure, down in Florida. Had a hurricane come through, and it blew this pine tree about this big around, and it had wedged in a fork of another tree, and it was hanging over his house. And so, of course, he got an estimate to, you know, get rid of it, and it was, you know, thousands of dollars, and he didn't have that. And so he said, "Can you come help me?" I was like, "Sure." So we get over there, and I want to be as safe as possible. This is a huge tree over his house. And so I get pulleys, ropes, chains, I get the tension on it with my truck and things like that. I took a chainsaw and cut a V out and then angled cut down towards that V so it would push it that way. We did all these things. I waited till the wind wasn't blowing anymore. The hurricane was gone. Why? As safe as possible. So I had directional ropes on it, the right kind of cut, the right kind of angle, things like that. And then we stopped and prayed and asked God to help. And again, it came right beside his house, only missed the corner of his house by about that much, and landed right where I was planning and praying for it to land. Why? I want to be as safe as possible. I don't want to go, let's just cut it, let it fall where it may. No, you take precautions. At our former church, we were in a transition state, I guess. We had moved from 11 acres to 35 acres. 11 acres had all the buildings that we needed. The 35 acres had one little bitty building. We had to have like three services on Sunday to get us all in there, things like that. So we got modulars, a 7-piece modular, a 16x80 modular, or 28x80 modular, and four 24x48 modulars. And so my dad, you know, came down to help us do that. We got all the teenagers out there, some men of the church, things like that, and we went to town. But you have to be as safe as possible with those things. And again, my dad was called Mr. Overkill, or make a big deal about it, about, you know, jacks and chains and safety stacks and trans lifts to pick up these machines, big trucks with winches and things like that. Why? We wanted to be as safe as possible. Why? He had an uncle that got killed by a mobile home falling on him, and a friend that landed on his waist and paralyzed him from the waist down. So he'd seen what those things could do. So what do you want to do? He wanted to be as safe as possible. At your home, I think you would want to be as safe as possible. When you're buying a house, you can Google crime rates in your area. I don't know if you've ever done that before. There was times where we went to buy a house and we Googled that and we're like, we're not living in that area. It would show you how many times the cops were called to that area. And so, we want to be as safe as possible. We would go over there on Friday and Saturday night if we were thinking about buying a house, sit in the street, roll the windows down, turn the car off and just listen. You know, Friday and Saturday night, some people get a little stupid. Okay, so we want to be as safe as possible. We also, when we bought that house, we've had security systems in there. We've had deadbolts. The last house we had cameras everywhere. I never paid to hook them up, but there was cameras there. Looked like we had it. Motion detectors, things like that. You might buy a dog, to bark for you, And then my favorite home, protection is my guns. All right. And not these, but these. Okay. And so you want to be as safe as possible. So these are areas that we might know that we want to be as safe as possible. So that's the introduction. So we're going to look real quickly at some verses in the book of Hebrews. So if you want to go to the book of Hebrews, we'll start in Hebrews 2 first. And we're going to look at 7 safeguards found in the book of Hebrews. 7 safeguards found in the book of Hebrews. Why? Because we want to be as safe as possible. I hope you want to be as safe as possible at your home, as safe as possible with your family, as safe as possible with some things that you might do that would be thrill seekers out there, things like that. Be as safe as possible. Spiritually speaking, be safe as possible. Be in God's hand. Be in His hedge. Be where He can help you. And then we're going to look in 7 places in the book of Hebrews where it says the word lest. L-E-S-T. In each verse, the word lest is found. The word lest here is an expression denoting a fear or an apprehension. I'm going to do this lest this happen. And we're going to see 7 places where it says the word lest. So we want to be as safe as possible or lest this might happen. So in Hebrews 2, verse 1, it says here, "Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time, be as safe as possible. Pay attention. Why? Because at any time we should let them slip. So if we want to be as safe as possible, we need to pay attention. We need to remember the things that we have heard. Safeguards on listening. Again, we ought to go to church. We ought to go to Sunday school. We ought to have private devotions. But even more than that, if we want to be as safe as possible, how about this? Let's go to church, Sunday school, and private devotions. Have being rested so we can be alert. Again, last night I was up till wee hours. It wasn't my choice. And again, there's some times that we don't have a choice. But we ought not maybe stay up. And again, I hope nobody in here has a problem with this, but some teenagers do. We ought not stay up to 3 a.m. playing video games and then go to church the next day. Because no matter how entertaining I can be and know how, in voice inflections I can do, if they play video games till 3 a.m., they're going to be back there. They're not going to be as safe as possible. They're not going to be able to hear and apprehend and put it in there. In other words, we ought to try to limit the distractions when we're in church. Again, put the phones up. Make the kids behave. Maybe they're not swinging from the chandeliers and things like that. We want to limit the distractions. Why? We're paying attention. Give the more earnest heed and so forth. So we see here in Hebrews, hearing is one of the things that will help us be as safe as possible. Hearing. Now let's go to Hebrews 3, verse 12. Hebrews 3, verse 12. And this is not only are we going to hear, but we're going to heed. Heed. Hearing will help you be as safe as possible. Heeding will help you be as safe as possible. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. And, again, we might hear a verse like that and we say, not me, no way, never. But there have been. Probably greater Christians than I have not taken heed and they're not living. They've departed from the living God. Now, He'll never depart from you, but you can depart from Him. So a safeguard of unbelief. So we ought to take heed, in God. Say, I believe God and I believe in God. And I believe God is in control. And I believe God is He has given us His Son to save us. And I believe God will keep us safe. And I believe God. And so, again, take heed to that. Don't let it slip. Take heed that the Word of God, King James Bible, is the inerrant, infallible, preserved Word of God. And that's a safeguard. My church, this is an independent fundamental Baptist church. Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist. The disciples and so forth started churches, and Paul started churches, and other people started churches, and other people started churches, and thousands of years later, here's a church. So it's lined up with just like the one that Jesus preached in. And so we've got to take heed to that. Our belief will, leave way before we do. I've seen people, I've been in church for a long time now and been in the ministry a long time, and I've seen people leave church. Maybe they got their feelings hurt or they got bent out of shape with somebody or they did this or they did that. Yes, but a lot of times this is what leaves first. You got to take heed to your beliefs. If I believe in God, I know He says go to church. So I'm not gonna let go of my beliefs. So take heed to your beliefs. Next one right there in the next verse. Let's look at another safeguard. Hebrews 3:13. Not only hearing and heeding, but exhorting. Exhorting, verse 13 says this, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. So we see here we're supposed to exhort one another. Now, that does not give us a license, to be the church police. You're not running around telling everybody, you need to stop this and you need to quit that and you need to fix this and you need to start doing it. That's not what this is talking about. Okay, this is talking about encouraging. Be here. Be what God wants you to be. It says here, you will have to communicate if you're going to be an exhorter. There's some people that they're not, very good communicators. You say, like four sentences to them and you get a grunt or a head nod. You know, you go through, hey, it's a great day. Praise the Lord. It's awesome to be saved on our way to heaven. We're going to have a great day today. All right, that just may not be them. So if you're going to be an exhorter, you're going to have to actually communicate and so forth. It says here that we're supposed to exhort one another, not gossip to one another. That's not what it says. But gossip one to another daily. No, it says exhort one another. Discourage one another daily. No, it says to exhort one another. So the third thing we're supposed to do to be as safe as possible is exhort one another. I love Christian friends. I love to talk to Christian people and things like that and exhort one another. Number four, let's go to chapter 4, verse 11. Chapter 4, verse 11 says here, let us labor. So how to be safe as possible? By laboring. Oh man, I don't like to work. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into rest, lest, okay, to be as safe as possible, labor, to enter into rest, lest any man fall under or after the same example of unbelief. So you got to work at it. Work at being a good Christian. Work at being faithful to God. Work at being faithful to church. Work, work, work. And again, if we're all honest, sometimes it's not sometimes, but anytime you get a chance to have a vacation, that's great. That's wonderful. Take advantage of that. Take advantage of creating memories with your family. Take advantages of getting some rest, things like that. But to be honest, you know, again, if you ever, you know, like a 3-day, or if you're, you know, I've been on a 3-day cruise and I've been on a 7-day cruise. All right. By the time 7 days was over, I was ready to get off. All right. Now it was cool because you can eat as much as you want all the time. All right. And so forth. And it's nice. The cell phones don't work there. That's great. And so forth. But by the time 7 days is up, I'm like fidgety. I got to go do something. And you know, again, first night you're on there, you're sleep like a log. All right. But then the next couple nights you're so rested, you're looking at the top of the roof. Things like that. So labor helps you sleep better. I was able to, again, I wasn't laboring physically, but I was up part of the night. So I was sleeping like a baby last night. And so we see here, let us labor so we can enter into that rest. Again, when you've done something, you know, construction or even at the job that you have and you get something accomplished, you feel good. You rest in that. So labor makes us rest much easier. It's much more enjoyable. Labor is good for us. Labor makes us feel a part. That's one thing I've loved about being here. You know, as soon as we set up for something or as soon as we take down for something, it's like, I mean, just a mass production and everybody's working. It makes you feel a part and so forth. When we have work days or work, you know, work times, everybody's there. It makes you feel a part. Labor. It will help you be as safe as possible. Sometimes, you know, that was my dad's plan for me. He would keep me so busy doing, I guess, good stuff or laboring stuff. I was too tired to do anything stupid. You know, I don't go. You know, so he just kept me busy. And you know, you can't, you know, you're too tired to go do something dumb. But anyway, so labor helps you stay as safe as possible. Number five, considering Hebrews 12, verse 3. Hebrews 12, verse 3, and we've used this not too long ago. We preached a whole sermon on it. It says here, for consider him that endureth such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest, all right, to be as safe as possible, you need to consider. So ye be weary and faint in your minds. Right, in your mind. So again, just like we ought to use our body in labor for the Lord, we ought to use our minds for the Lord. And if we don't consider, we can be weary and we can faint in our minds. Anything that we have to endure, if we consider what He endured, it won't compare. And so again, we look at sometimes life and it's like, you know, this is hard or I don't understand this, things like that. If you'll look and consider what Jesus went through for us, I'm not even going to consider that, you know, because I mean, what he went through was way worse than what anything I've ever had to go through. And so it's not that bad. But the Bible tells us to endure hardness as a good soldier. You'll be rewarded if you endure. And so we ought to consider, and that'll help us be as safe as possible. Next one is 12:13. 12:13 says here, and make straight paths for your feet. So this is making. If we make straight paths for our feet, it'll be as safe as possible. And make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame, turn out of the way, but let it rather be healed. So we ought to make straight paths. I've blazed trails before out in the briars and woods, things like that. It was most likely to find a place to put a deer stand, things like that. But you go through there. Today I was waiting on a contractor to come give me a quote on putting a shower in downstairs. And so he was supposed to be there at 10. So I get up, and I'm out there waiting. And so I'm pulling some weeds out of the flower beds. And so then I get my hedger out and I'm hedging some things like that. And it's warm today. But I was thinking that there's no snakes yet. I was nervous about going down there between the house and the hedges and things like that, something wiggling underneath my feet. But anyway, you check, wow, lest something bite you, or lest you fall in the hole, or lest, wow, you want to make those pathways straight. So examples, making a pathway straight in our life, it says here that lest that which is lame turn out of the way. So in other words, if we're a Christian and we're walking down that pathway that's straight, a lame person that could see us, or an unsaved person that can see us, would say, I want what they have. I want to be like that. I want to be blessed like they're blessed. Or if we're just going through life and not making our path straight, it says here that they can just rather, forget it. I don't want anything they have. So making a pathway straight is to be safe as possible. Number 7 and the last one, Hebrews 12, verse 15. The last thing that we can do to be as safe as possible is be looking. To be looking. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, thereby many be defiled. And again, we ought to be looking. The Bible tells us to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The Bible tells us to be looking, that He could be coming back at any time. It tells us to be occupy till I come, to be busy when I find you. But we ought to always be looking. As I told you before of my daughter-in-law's messing up phrases, I think I told you about her telling us that we need to keep our eyes on a swivel instead of our head on a swivel. But always be looking. Again, I remember playing football in high school, and I don't think they're allowed to do this anymore, but it was a drill that we had back when they didn't really care about us, I guess. They would put us in a circle, and the coach would call your number, and you went out there in the middle, and everybody was chopping in place, and then he would call somebody else's number, and he was supposed to go try to level you, and you were supposed to be ready for him, always looking. And when you got a helmet on, it's hard to see sometimes. And so, again, we ought to always be looking. Why? Lest we fail. And lest that root of bitterness spring up and trouble you. So, again, in the Christian life, this is the devil's, plan, is to destroy you, deceive you, is to sift you. And you ought to be watching for that. For instance, praise the Lord for the visitors that we had Sunday morning. And I hope God keeps doing that, and I hope that He blesses things like that. But the more people you have, obviously the tighter it's going to be in here. And the more chances of you not getting your seat, and so forth. But again, don't let little things like that spring up and trouble you. And then it says here, thereby many be defiled. So again, if a dad got bent out of shape, whatever it was, and left the church, then he's affected, his wife's affected, his kids are affected. That's what this is talking about. Always be looking out. The devil is going to try to discourage you, deceive you, destroy you. But watch out for that. Lest any men fail of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you thereby. So we see here, we ought to want to be as safe as possible. As a pastor of this church, that's one of my goals, is for this place to be the safest possible. That's why I would not let just anybody speak behind this pulpit. If I don't know them and I don't know they believe in the King James Bible, they're not going to be invited to speak up here. Why? I want it to be as safe as possible. I don't want anybody creeping in unaware and being on my watch. I want it to be as safe as possible. I want it to be as safe as possible, as far as facilities. I don't want kids to get hurt. And so spiritually speaking and physically speaking, I remember when we started having grandkids, it had been a while since little kids had been at our house. And so, of course, grandkids coming, we got the little plastic things that go in the little receptacles. You know, I was always like, they stick a screwdriver in there, they won't do it but one time. All right, but my wife, no, we gotta put the, you know. I was like, well, how are they going to learn? But anyway, so we got that. And then, of course, all the cleaning chemicals had to go out from under the sink, or they had to have locks on it and things like that. Why? Because we wanted our house as safe as possible. Again, we had a pool right outside of our back door. And so it had a knob, a deadbolt, but then way up at the top, they had a chain. And, I mean, I would, you know, just like I'm the light police, I was the chain police. Well, I'm just coming right back in. I don't care. You put that chain up there. I mean, how many stories have you heard of a little kid falling in a pool? Be as safe as possible. And so, again, I'm Mr. Overkill on doing stupid things smart. I'm Mr. Overkill on keeping my house and my kids safe, my grandkids safe. I'm Mr. Overkill on keeping the church safe. And so I'm telling you, watch out. Do these seven things and you'll be as safe as possible. And again, so there's, and they're right there in Hebrews, lest, do this, or this could happen. Do this, or something bad could happen. Be as safe as possible. No, it's not overkill. It's being as safe as possible. And again, I'm in God's hand, I'm in God's hedge, and I want His help. And He shows us here how we can, there's lots of other ones, not just these seven. So, anyway, I don't see any kids running around out there yet, so they must still be going. So we'll have a word of prayer, and we'll be dismissed. It's 8 o'clock. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity we have to serve you. And Lord, I just ask you to help us, Lord, to take these principles that we heard tonight and apply them to our life. Lord, hear and heed and look out and listen and labor, all these things that we're supposed to do. And if we're doing those, the Bible says that we can be as safe as possible. We're inside your hedge of protection. You're going to help us if we're trying our best to keep those statutes and those judgments. And Lord, thank you. Praise the Lord for us. Once you're saved forever. Thank you for that, Lord. And Lord, I just ask you to be with our church. Lord, help it to continue to grow. Lord, we do ask you to be with the upcoming the 25th anniversary service. Lord, we just ask you to help us have a great day that day. Lord, maybe people saved, maybe some baptized and so forth. But Lord, I just ask you to help us have a good day. Help us do our part, Lord, to invite people in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.